mine, I guess. You got it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello,
hi, everybody.
And
welcome
back to
Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley.
Yes.
I'm an astrologer here in New York City. I'm broadcasting from the Bright Red Vest, and I am joined here by my wonderful friend, Heather. Heather, you out there in the wilds of Montana?
Hi, yes, I am. I'm in the dry wilds of Montana. There's the air is thick with smoke from fires all around, though not too close to us, thank goodness. But still, it's a dry season out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I gather Mark is still in Vermont or came home not feeling so well, so will join us next week.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that email. Good. Yeah. Sorry,
yeah.
He's not feeling well. But he does do those travel trips on the weekends. He's like, out of New York, man. I'm going.
I can understand that. It's hot there. How has it been in New York?
It was nice. I had a wedding Saturday, so I was out doing
mm-hmm.
the wedding, and it was lovely. It was in a backyard with a breeze, and, you know, and then, of course, I found an air conditioner and hung out by the air conditioner and
nice.
Enjoyed the party. It was a nice party.
Yeah, with Venus
and
Mars conjunct in Leo,
you know,
there's a lot
humid.
Of parties. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're really wet and rainy here. We're humid. We have all your water, you know, so.
Send a little
myth,
our
myth,
way.
Myth.
Yeah, I hear you got flooded.
Yeah, we got flooded. The subways were flooded. They had people wading through them. And then they were like, don't go wading through them because it turns into New York sewer system. And I don't think people thought about that. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like, the sewers are overflowing, so it's going into the
mm-hmm.
subway. And, yeah, so
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, I don't know that people really, once they said that, people kind of went, ew. I just thought I was just wading through rainwater in the subway, you know. So
yeah, not unless you've got boots
mm-hmm.
up to your knees.
Yeah,
yeah. But
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
Venus and Mars conjunct in Leo is good for a party, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's really fine. I'm finding myself just talking more than usual, feeling
yeah.
garrulous,
yeah.
and that's not usually my problem. So it is, you know, I feel like I talk enough for work, maybe quiet everywhere else. But no,
mm-hmm.
And so I bet the party, that the wedding was lovely. It's a good time for a wedding party. It may not be a great time for a marriage ceremony because you're always going to have that sort of emotional outgoing Venus and Mars conjunct in Leo in your marriage chart, but it certainly would be a lot of fun.
Well, it was
yes.
a couple of people that work in the creative fields. So they were like,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. And she's a pretty good astrologer. So she picked the chart, and I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a couple questions about it, but by and large, it was good. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was,
wonderful.
They had a good time. They had a good time. So dance
yeah,
the night away, as we say. But, yeah.
And it's interesting that all, you know, this is the week that, or this month that, you know, three billionaires are heading up into space while everybody else going, can't you feed us here on Earth? And
right.
both Elon Musk, I gather, and, you know, Branson are, you know, Cancer, Moon, and Virgos.
I know.
And, but Branson is such a Leo rising with Pluto on the ascendant. He is to Leo
yeah.
rising
mm-hmm.
with Pluto on the ascendant as Trump is Leo rising with Mars on the ascendant.
Right, right.
So,
well, I just remember Branson, you know, as being, you know, a really competitive guy, you know, in
mm-hmm.
terms of his the
mm-hmm.
Pluto wrangler. So, he's like, it's
mm-hmm.
not a competition. I'm like, oh, come on, you know, don't kid a kidder kind of thing. But
absolutely.
Okay, you want to say it's not a competition, but yeah, I'm kind of going with
it's
that.
It's a competition,
so.
But you know, he likes to do near death experiences with his
yeah.
ballooning
mm-hmm.
and his planes, and it's that Pluto rush
mm-hmm.
with life and death.
Yes.
That
mm-hmm.
strange.
By the way,
Cancer,
I have to say, he looked
Virgo.
A little nervous taking the seatbelt off, you know, because the back row was released first, and then he was like, "Okay, the front row," and he's kind of like, "All right, do I really want to?" And then once he was floating, he looked very happy. But I remember right after Barack Obama got out of office, and they went down to his island off of wherever,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you know, they were out there waterboarding, right? Or you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I have to say, I
yeah.
you know, Barack Obama was always in a suit, and there he is, like half naked, you know. Just in
mm-hmm,
his bathing
mm-hmm.
suit, you know, waterboarding. I'm like, that guy is like really cut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he beat, you know, they were, you know, the commentators were like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, he totally beat Branson, you know. So
wonderful.
But yeah, it's definitely. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that all three are launching into space this week. I didn't realize Musk was going this week. I knew Bezos was, but Bill Gates, you notice, has his feet firmly planted on the ground. He's not going up there, right? So it's like,
and yeah, and he's doing other things.
Right.
But so yeah, that's been interesting watching them, how visible that is and out there.
Yes.
Now that Saturn, the ongoing Saturn Uranus square that has been here all year long. We had, I gather, earthquakes in New Mexico today, 4 point something or other, and that continues to shake in China. And they didn't even need to do that to have shake everything up down in Florida with that poor, falling of the condo. I assume your house in Florida is a little bit better built than that.
Yeah, we were built, my place was built by GE back when they were in real estate, so they did a pretty good job. Plus, it had all, it doesn't anymore, but they had all GE appliances. You figure if they build rockets and airplanes and stuff like that. But yeah, they were the contractors for the island, so yeah.
No,
it wasn't skimpy, but, you know, it is built, you know, near the water, so it conceivably could go down in a blow. Hopefully not, fingers crossed.
Hopefully
but,
not. And it's built pretty soundly. It's already handled a few blows.
Yes, it has been there. It's 79 it was built, so it's been up for a while. So, but, yeah, I think the energy this week, also one of the things with that Uranus-Saturn square is Vesta is going to go through it, forming a sesquiquadrate to both ends and forming in the heavens what we call a hammer of Thor. So it's really, you know, the way I'm experiencing it or the way I'm suggesting people experience it is take that Virgo energy and swing the hammer and clear out your closets, clear out your stuff, clear out whatever you don't need. Because Venus and Mars got married this week. They got married today, and then 2 days from now they get married by declination. So they're at the same level of latitude also. So they're very active, and Uranus and Mars are kind of having this get rid of stuff aspect, but the hammer of Thor is like the handle is Vesta in Virgo, so like what's in your house that you don't need that doesn't help you going. So yesterday I kind of got into watching Marie Kondo videos. I'm like, what the hell is this with me and Marie Kondo? And then I looked at the aspects. I'm like, oh, it's a hammer of Thor. She says, hold it. Does it bring you joy? If not, out. You know, and then you honor it, you thank it for being your possession, and then you you get rid of it. So I was like, oh, okay, Marie Kondo
good
videos,
Virgo
that
work.
Totally worked.
And good Cancerian work. And the Sun is moving into that opposition with Pluto, which will be exact next Friday. And I think it's a good time for letting go. I mean, it's a yearly aspect, that opposition. But it is a good time for letting go. And I have a remarkable amount of clients whose parents are in the process of dying right now.
Yeah, me too.
And it's been, and that, you know, the letting go, that there's something about this Pluto, the Sun-Pluto opposition coming this week that's really asking people to deal with it, to notice that they need to let go. And that Sun, if first
well,
it finds Neptune.
Yeah, I kind of think that Mars-Pluto opposition, too, you know, the inconjunct next week, because that's a kind of a kicker out of or kick you out of bed. The Sun-Pluto, I often find, is like people go, oh, you know, but it doesn't actually do anything. But with the Mars-Pluto.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that, I don't know if these people are going to die, but I do know that they're going to get ready and that the people are just coping with the fact that they're dying this week. And next week we have a series of quincunks, one after the other.
Yes, so because somebody said to me, this is a hard week. I said, actually, no, next week is, but yeah.
It's just going to be, you know, that quincunks, there's a series of them, and it's going to be that quincunks, disjointed, skew lines, things just not grooving energy that people have to work with, which can be irritating. And where little sparks can start big fires, but let's see if we can keep it down to little sparks that just stay little sparks.
And then this week we also have the Sun trine Neptune, which is strong, but it gives us a very, you know, kick-off kind of energy, you know, kicks things off into the world. But,
the Sun trine Neptune,
see, that's why I don't think it's going to be quite so bad with the Sun-Pluto opposition, but next week I'm like, oh, Mars and all the inconjuncts. It's like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
yeah.
You know how like organs fail and then that happens and that happens and that, and then you're done, you know.
And
so,
just for the audience, that quincunx and inconjuncts are the same aspect. They're just different names for it.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up
different
using inconjuncts.
Yeah.
Right.
It's basically, it's how you got raised, tomato, tomato. But it's also a 150-degree aspect, so it requires you adjust. One of the versions is a Virgo version, which is the physical adjustment, and then the other one is a Scorpio version, which is a psychological adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of got those two
And like the semi-sextile, it's from two, you know, it's a tight, narrow aspect from two planets that are in signs that have nothing in common, no modality, no element, no polarity. So they just don't have a language to converse, which can stretch us. You know, that's why it can be push us and why people are so curious about the sun sign that's quincunx theirs, but it can feel like we just don't have enough common language for these two planets to communicate.
Right.
Yeah, and I like that trine from the sun to Neptune because I'm seeing the people facing Pluto issues where they're coming to, you know, one client, both of her parents who split up decades ago, they've both headed into hospice this week. And they're on the other sides of the country, and they're just timing it together without knowing
it. Right,
And
we're gonna die at the same time, and you're going to have to pick which one you want to be at the bed of, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And you're going to have to go back and forth, and, you know, it's going to be a fun couple of months. But in that while that was happening, they could reach into their spirituality to soothe that, because the trine to Neptune says, I have access to my spiritual resources dealing with this Pluto object, which I think is going to be pretty powerful in the process.
Yeah, it's we're ready. You know, I'm kind of looking at that optimistic energy of that Mars Venus, like, okay, let's go. And what do we need to leave behind? What are we done with that we're ready to roll? And I do find this kind of week with the energy this week, Heather, is like, you know, you've been wandering along the road with Bob, and then Bob goes, you know, I'm going to go left now, bye-bye. And then we go we go along and we pick up Susan and we travel with Susan for a little while. And then Susan goes, okay, I've reached my, you know, it's like hitchhiking. I mean, we don't do that anymore, but I used to when I was younger. And, you know, and then, you know, you get out of the car and then you go, okay, next ride, you know. So it's kind of that you travel with whoever you're traveling with. And that's the thing to remember if people spin off this week and go in other directions, because commitments come through or opportunities come through. That's okay, because they got you to where you are. You just kind of look around and go, okay, who's next, you know? So it helps us get to that new place, right? So that's good.
And one of the things that I'm seeing in also is couples with that inconjunct. And I tell them it's a good week to do this. With that inconjunct, couples are taking separate holidays, or one has to go to work, or one has to go to a workshop, and they're just, you know, they're not dealing with each other. And this is a good week not to deal with each other. I said, give each other lots of attention while this Venus and Mars are conjunct in Leo, you do not want to, you know, underestimate that need. People are really asking, they just get more pissed off if you're looking at your phone or you're distracted or you just don't have time for them. It is not going
to
be.
Pay attention to me.
Well.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if you're going to be here, be here. But that series of inconjuncts would just say our responsibilities are taking us away from what would be comfortable and cozy. And that may be just totally the appropriate thing next week.
Right.
Right. So if problems show up, I'm asking people not to run with them because it's an inconjunct. It's a short aspect. It can point out a place of irritation, but you don't have to act on it or split from it or, you know, make a sudden decision. Just deal with it and, you know, hold off on any long-term decisions.
Yeah. Because the energy isn't about long-term. It's about very, very short-term stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And valid, but short-term. So
but still important. It's important in the moment because it's Leo. It's about the heart space and how do we open up that heart chakra to let that energy in. And then the other part of it is now that it's in, what do we do with it now that it's there? You know, so it's kind of an interesting mix of energies, I think. And people really, you know, aren't 100% sure how to handle it, but it's like if you're standing in that heart space, it just helps a lot, you know. So,
It is, I've noticed that right now, this week, that Vesta and Pallas Athena are directly opposed to each other.
And right, and Pallas Athena stations, Pallas Athena stations this week until November 7th and goes retrograde. So I think of that as, you know, like what is your home need to be and kind of what's your strategic point? Because if we think of Vesta opposite Pallas Athena and she's forming the handle of the Hammer of Thor, Pallas Athena says have your strategy in place, you know, as you make these choice, as you swing the hammer. You know, like know what you're swinging at, you know. Did you ever see the Indiana Jones where he's battling all those people and then the guy comes out with the sword and he's swinging it and he just whips his gun out and he shoots him? And, the audience cheered and it's kind of like, yeah, we're just really tired. I'm just going to shoot you now. Like, go away. And I always love that scene because that's kind of, that to me feels like yeah, I could take out with a sword, but I'm really tired. You know, can we just stop now and go do something else, you know? So,
I gather
but yeah, the
that
Athena, Vesta, and it also is what do you need to do with your own home and hearth to achieve the dreams? What's that structural change need to be, you know?
And I gather that that scene in the Indiana Jones was ad-libbed, that something went wrong.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Like he couldn't get a hold of his sword or he was like, screw this. And he just said, why am I doing this? And pulled out his gun and shot. And expected them to do a repeat, but it worked.
A do-over.
So they left it, right.
Right,
so
right, right.
I also see it that the tendency, you know, to speak our truth, like kind of there's two definite parts of female training that these two aspects talk about. That we need, with Vesta speaks of, do not sacrifice yourself, share yourself. Do not burn yourself up. And I'm seeing that with people that are dealing with the heavy family responsibilities. How do I not burn myself up for them, but instead pace it so I can actually be there for them for the long haul? And opposed, like you're in, Pallas Athena says, well, to do that, we're going to need to make some plans. And we're going to have to kind of stay in our, kind of be aware, remember our good feminist, you know, theology and our awareness of how we get sucked into doing all the dirty work. And let's take a look at it and see what's valid here and what's not. And so that's an interesting opposition that, you know, to watch how that goes for people.
Yeah, it's interesting sky. And also today and tomorrow the moon's in Virgo, so it's a lot about process because Mercury, remember the sun in Mercury are in Cancer, so every 2 days, 2.5 days, when the moon changes sign, the sun and Mercury react because they're now in a new sign. So this week, moon sextiles the sun, Virgo sextiles Cancer sun, but Cancer sun's in Virgo, so it's a couple of Virgos getting along and having a good old time. And then Mercury and the moon are in mutual reception with each other, so they can swap places. Mercury becomes Virgo and Moon becomes Cancer, so they can be like, oh, okay, they're there. This is how we get this done, you know. So there's a nice energy of kind of shifting, you know, shifting things into a new place. So it's good. It feels like, you know, we have this couple of weeks before Mars goes into Virgo and Venus goes into Virgo. Well, Venus goes into Virgo next week, I think.
Very soon.
But Mars goes in, and, you know, the two of them, when they're in Virgo, you know, they've been in Leo, so now they bought the house and they're renovating it, and now they're putting on their Virgo and they're hanging the wallpaper and they're painting, you know. So there's a there's kind of a nice renovation energy that'll be taking place.
Yep. And it's starting to plan for the minute one of the personal planets heads into Virgo, where suddenly we see the first leaf turn on the tree and we start thinking about the fall semester and school supplies are loaded up in the hallways and we start thinking about our work ahead. Now, another aspect I'd like, you know, Chiron stations retrograde on the 15th. And so I'm kind of interesting to see what's going to bring that up. I see that people have to go back and remember some unhealed wound, some unhealed problem that they've got to do some work on still. and kind of come to understand what they're learning out of it to help another. Or someone might show
right.
up in our lives this week that says, hey, I need the information that you got when you skinned your knee last week. What did you put on your knee?
Mm-hmm.
I needed to use that because
mm-hmm.
I just skinned my knee. And that may show
right.
up, whether relationship
mm-hmm.
problems, work problems. How can you go back into your past for the information you need to handle a problem in the future? That's what I'm seeing with it. How do you see Chiron?
Yeah, and also when Chiron stations in Aries, I always remind people that, you know, where the wound is where the scar is, and that tends
mm-hmm.
to be our strongest point. You know, once scar tissue really forms, the it stays together and it knits. It kind of forms
mm-hmm.
it forms an energy in it. So, I think understanding that that connection of the scar tissue and the strength of it,
mm-hmm.
but it also sometimes binds. You know, like so we just had the Pope have to have bowel taken out because he had.
Yeah.
Stenosis, which is a hardening of the colon from the work, the scarring of it from the colitis that he had. So I think it's recognizing sometimes where we have scar tissue, it needs to be worked a little gently. And with Chiron stationing in Aries this week, our scar tissues can hurt. You know how like your toe hurts
mm-hmm.
when the weather changes, you know, because you broke it? It's that kind of feeling. And it's in Aries, so it's going to go backwards until the beginning of December when it gets Sag. So it's kind of an interesting time because Pallas Athena goes backwards and says, okay, what's your strategy for your housing, your body, your home, your work? And then Chiron goes backwards and says, okay, so remember that scar you had? Remember how it made you strong? It knitted together in a deep way? How is that need to be maybe softened a little or worked with? You know, on some level, or even just lovingly touched, you know. I remember reading an article once, I want to say it was Ms. Magazine, and a woman was writing about being in a gym and all the women's bodies that were scarred, you know, the different scars
mm-hmm.
that they were on the bodies as they were in the gym, you know, C-sections or mastectomies or surgeries or whatever, and recognizing the scarring of us is, it's a story, it tells part of who we are, but it also holds for us. It holds a tail, you know, and it's kind of looking at that scar with fresh eyes because it's in Aries. Understanding the
yes.
purpose of the scar is a mark of what you've gone through, and that's okay, and
mm-hmm.
that's all right,
and that,
you know.
I think that ties into the Pallas Athena in Vesta in that
yes.
so the scar may be around your sense of personal identity. That
mm-hmm.
some element of your identity and your sense of independence and individuation may need to soften because you know how strong you are there, or it
mm-hmm.
needs to kind of, you need to work with those scars and how are they serving you now. One of the things that can
mm-hmm.
give that soften that scar is purpose. And again, I always watch for the people that do, you know, what I call New Age fascism. You know, the reason why you have cancer is because you didn't do this. And when
yeah.
you're going to,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of like I see a reason instead of. I would ask people to take a look at it instead of, I don't know why this happened, but I know that I can figure out a way of making it useful. That's not why it
right.
happened, but how I can give it purpose. How can I
right.
take something from it and make it useful? And I see that as Chiron important and Chiron in Aries
mm-hmm.
about our sense of identity and our sense of individuation.
Right, a meaningfulness of it, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
And what we went through to get there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we do make meaning of things, you know. It,
mm-hmm.
It's an interesting journey. There was a thing a couple weeks ago, Nightbird, I don't know if you saw her on America's Got Talent.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
widely. But she, you know, she gets up there and, you know, 2% chance of living. And you know, the bald guy who's blind, Howie Mandel, goes, oh, you're not okay. And she goes, no, I'm okay. You know, like I am where I am. And it's okay to be
mm-hmm.
where you are and understand
mm-hmm.
it. And I'm lost, but I'm okay with being lost. So it's also understanding that we make meaning out of our, you know, we're humans make meaning out of things. That's our job.
Right.
So we look for meaning. It's part of how we're built. And so finding meaning in things is important. And I think getting away from the idea of a punishing God, I mean, I've had a lot of people going, why is God punishing me
yes.
with this? And I'm like, can we maybe think of it, you know, like not as punishing, but that as, you know, what's the process? You know, what's it about?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I too have friends that are waiting for people to die. And I was talking to one of them last night, and, you know, it's her dad, he's old. And she's like, he has no quality of life. And I'm like, the guy had a great life. You know, he did. I mean, he had a great life. And he is a charming Leo. And I know there's nothing to say to comfort, you know, because from her perspective, watching him suffer is horrible. But I'm also mm-hmm. watching how much she cares about him, right? And
yeah.
I'm watching how she goes over and takes care of him. And, you know, he'd gotten a little scruffy, and he normally was very dapper. I mean, always a bow tie, always a little beret. And so she took him to there. You know, he lives in an assisted living place. Yeah, they have hospice. But she's like, he was moving. He was a little mobile. And she brought him downstairs to the hairdresser and got a cut and nails and his eyebrow trimmed and a beard shave. And, you know, and the woman started talking to her about her mom. And, you know, her mother would always say, don't cut it too short. You know, I don't like his hair too short, you know. And so it was really nice for her to have this connection with the woman who remembered her mother and remembered her dad. And it was just like this supportive space of the journey that she's on with her father as he, you know, eventually will probably cross over reasonably soon. But, you know, who knows. But that process of how do we... You know, how do we honor the time in a way that allows us to really feel like we're honoring that space and time?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting time for people. So really cherish those moments of departure, the moments of imminent leaving. You know, I had a friend who went to thought he was going to see his grandfather for the last time, and then he went to see him again this week, and it wasn't the last time last week. It was now he saw him again, and he goes, "Who knows? Maybe I'll see him a few more times." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, we have this moment of I may never see you again, but I also may," and I think we really want to kind of cherish that process, you know, as best we can, as the new energy comes in to help with the old energy.
And we're bringing in that point that the Venus and Mars in Leo, what our mm-hmm. beloveds who are walking away may need from mm-hmm. us is just attention rather than worry. Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
there
mm-hmm.
might be more kind of technical stuff to deal with when everything goes into Virgo. But
yeah.
right now, just presence and appreciation and any words of gratitude can be
right.
what people need most from us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lovely thing.
Yeah, that proposal.
Mm-hmm. So we are almost gone, and I think there's no time to take any calls today. I want to just say thank you to everybody. We've had a lot to say. Next
mm-hmm.
week, we hopefully will maybe start early and take more calls.
Heather and I were very chatty today, you know.
Well, Mercury trine and Jupiter today. So,
yeah, totally.
You know, it is a time to mm-hmm. talk and talk
mm-hmm.
and talk. I said, you know,
mm-hmm.
Venus and Mars and Leo and Mercury trine Jupiter. Having a good conversation with people is delightful. Write long letters today. My granddaughter has decided she wants to be pen pals, so she wrote me a letter. It was wonderful. And
asked me to
write back, and I haven't written a letter to anybody, and I don't know how long. And it's just delightful to kind of be like, let's do this. And
mm-hmm,
make
mm-hmm,
it a little
mm-hmm.
bit more substantial and permanent. And that attention. That
well, and it's like letters. Remember the letters from Rilke to a young poet, right?
Yes.
Right.
Oh,
letters to a young granddaughter. I love it.
Yes,
I love it, Heather.
I love young granddaughter. It is. It's pretty mm-hmm. wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's again, how do we write those letters for ourselves, too, and
mm-hmm,
for,
mm-hmm,
you know, the people that are important to us? Pay attention
yeah.
to ourselves.
Yeah.
And a moment of joy this week can really help. We've got some tough transits coming, and a moment of joy can make it a lot, give us the energy we need to make it
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm. Make us dance the night away, you know.
Yeah.
Dance the night away, da 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 da.
So, I gather we have 7 minutes left. This is Heather Rowan Robbins signing off from Ronan, Montana.
And Ann Orley signing off from the bright red desk sitting in front of the air conditioner. Woohoo! And Heather, I hope your air gets better out there.
So do we. So do we. I hope the fires go down.
Hopefully the fires don't burn too much. See you all next week. So have a good week. Love, love, love. Hugs, hugs, hugs. And we'll catch you same time, same place next week.
Bye.